Well, good morning. It's Father's Day. I'm so happy that I get to speak to the fathers today. Sometimes, Abba, when we went through the book of Samuel as a Life Together group, there was a moment when we realized that when Hannah prayed for her son, she prayed to the Lord of the angel armies. And that triggered a discussion of how each of us in the group, when we first think of God, what do we think? And my response was, Abba, Father. And that's because mom and dad were divorced, and from early on, the Lord showed me that he was my father. So dad was a pastor, had to travel a lot in those days, especially in Europe, maybe all across, I think, the globe. Pastors had very different expectations put on them. And so he had to give to the church first and family second. That meant he was absent a lot. And when they got divorced, he was not there anymore because mom immigrated with us to Germany. So I had very many, questions, wounds, thinking, I know my dad loves you, Lord, but how did he model God for me? He would come and visit. And in my wounded brain, heart, sometimes I knew I couldn't see that, yes, my dad actually did model God to us in different ways. So then I thought about the men here, and often I've had some conversations leading up to these weeks, and some of you have told me, I hate Father's Day. When I told someone that I was going to hold up a mirror for them today, their first things out of their mouth was, uh-oh. And I thought, no, this is going to be a good thing today. Because out of that lesson of myself and my dad, I thought, what I would like to do this morning for the fathers and the men here is to show you how you have modeled Abba Father to your families, to this Cornerstone Church family, and to the world. It's not a complete list, of course. And do you do it perfectly? Probably not. Did I mother perfectly? Am I a perfect friend? Absolutely not, because we're people. But you do reflect God. And so I want to show you some of the ways that you have done that. We will always give God the glory first. We will see how he loves us. But then I also had this idea pop into my brain, and that is to ask some of the ladies and some of the guys if I could use their picture. If your picture isn't on this presentation today, it doesn't mean that I didn't think of you. It just meant that by the time I had the idea and I had to get the slide presentation finished, there was no time to add everyone. But I truly know that all of you reflect the Father for us. So this would be supposed to be a shot in the arm for you today and a thank you. And Abram called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now you will see Rufus and his family there, and a very lavish table is set. When we read the Gospels, Jesus told us that even the smallest detail of creation God cares about. The lilies of the field, he knows when a sparrow falls, he knows when we lose our hair, I guess, or I should say he counts every hair on our head. And if he does that, we are image bearers and we are uniquely made. And I know, I can see, looking around, that your families are well fed and clothed. You provide. The offering counters count the money that you so generously provide. And one aside here, I know there's a lot of single moms here who have done double duty, but I know that when the fathers in their life, their husbands or widows, they would say, you can count them as well in this. You know, the children of Israel longed for food that was left behind in Egypt, and so they asked God for food, and sometimes the provision that God gives us isn't exactly how we wanted. They wanted cucumbers, I think, but what they received was bread from heaven, manna. They didn't like it. They complained about it, and I was thinking about our children growing up, how they would come to Chris, can I do this? Can I do that? And oftentimes he would say no to this, but yes to that. So fathers or sons, if you're thinking, well, my dad doesn't give me what I want, well, but he will always give you what you need. And sometimes you aren't in a position to give your children exactly what they need. And I was thinking of financially, Chris and I have never been able to pay for all of our children's education, but what we could do and what Chris said to our son was, why don't you live with us for a year and you can save up a down payment for a house. So provision doesn't always look from God or from each other how we think we want to receive it, but I would like you to think about how God has provided for you as I'm speaking. Take a little inventory and just thank Him, because I know He has provided for you, as I know the fathers here have provided for their children. Now, we make mistakes, but we know God does not. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. Sometimes I know Chris and myself as parents have changed our minds, but God does not. So whatever, if there's a lack of a father's love or you didn't receive that, know that today, you can settle that in your hearts, that God gave us His very best, eternal life. He gave us the Holy Spirit and the power to walk here and be the best men and women of God. How do you do this? How do you give good gifts, spiritual gifts? Well, you're bringing your families to church. You're bringing your friends to church. There's a Friday night prayer group. And you know what I so appreciate about that group is that children are included. They make room and provision for children. At the home of Blessing and Joseph, Chris and I had the privilege of being part of that group early this spring. And you know what? The children were always included. So I say, well done. Grandfathers bring their children to church. That is so excellent. We are meeting together to read and study and teach the Word of God, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes in small and large groups. You are showing yourself approved. There's answers to prayer. In our group, we prayed for Teresa's husband to be able to come to Canada. Well, guess what? He's here. Jobs found. Maybe kitchens are being built. Friends are coming to Christ on their deathbeds. It was so profound, Mark's testimony, that God used that friendship from so long ago. There was one phone call, and Mark was there praying, and he led his friend to the Lord. Isn't that exciting? It's so great. One thing about God is that He's present. That's one of the lessons I learned from my dad, that he would visit us often and be present in our lives, even if it wasn't exactly like I wanted. But God is present, the Lord your God, and this is how he is present. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. This verse paints to me an amazing picture of how Abba Father provides more and more of himself in lavish ways. First of all, he saves us. He's our protection and covering, not from a far place, up there somewhere in the heavenly realms, but right in the middle of our lives. And he rejoices over us. He is glad that we are alive and so happy that he is our Father and we are his children. He's like the grandfather or father, and you know him. We've seen him in the foyer, in Safeway, who pulls out his cell phone or his wallet and says, "Let me show you my kids." And there isn't one picture, there's multiple pictures. When I asked to have pictures of the dads, well, they came flying in. Nobody had trouble sending me a picture. I had multiple ones to choose from. And so that's who God is. He's present. We never have to wait for him to show up because he never leaves us. We say about each other, "Oh, he or she showed up." But guess what? God's always there. He quiets with his love, and God sings loudly over us. It's always so amazing to me that I see these great big men with muscly arms and strong handshakes, but then they are able to hold these tiny little babies and make them feel so secure. Safety. God is our Father, and his arms reassure us it's going to be okay. He has us completely safe in his arms. We are assured that his love is strong and secure, gentle but firm. No one can take us out of his arms. Mr. Chris used to drive me crazy when our kids were little and our grandkids, and he'd take his hands and balance them and just lift them up like this, and I would think, "What are you doing?" But the kids always felt safe, they had fun, and he never dropped them. That was my surprise. But you know what? We don't have to worry about balance in God's arms or hands because he has us. We can trust him. He keeps us balanced and we are secure. This passage in Zephaniah tells us that God is so very proud of us. He sings so loudly for the universe to hear that he is absolutely crazy about us. When we attended soccer games, I would hear not only our children, but other kids tell their dads, "Don't scream so loud, you're embarrassing me." They could hear their father's voice screaming, but everybody else was screaming that loudly. But that's how proud God is of you and me. He shouts over us. He loves you so much. If you have not experienced that with your father, if he's more of a quiet guy, or your father never said, "Well done, I'm proud of you," know that God is. And when I know you men are the same, Facebook is full of the evidence of that. If you are my friend and your Facebook feed comes through, I know how proud you are of your children. So, well done. This is something I think, especially men, God has given them the ability to do to strengthen their children. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on heights. As our Father strengthens us through experience and adventures, sometimes they include hardships. Pastor Brad has spoken to us about the valleys, the wilderness, and the storms. And if you missed those messages, I encourage you to catch up. But my thoughts went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I call them the original band of brothers. They grew up together in captivity in Babylon. And they made very many pre-choices so that when a big moment came, they didn't abandon each other. But in that hardship and friendship, they stuck together. That pre-decision to worship God alone and stand by each other helped them in that moment. They stuck together. They stood strong in faith and friendship. God gave them the victory, and we read that when the king watched the proceedings, he saw not three men but four, the Son of God. It resulted in promotion for them and a new decree that only the God of Israel would be served. Will that always happen here on earth? No, maybe not. But I see you as men also here, sticking together and encouraging one another. If you don't have that friendship, reach out to each other and make friends. Equipping. I love this picture now. This is our son and his younger sister. I believe it's the rim of the Lady MacDonald Mountain, and they're about to walk that. At the time, I was so concerned for their safety, and I did what I always do. I give advice. Be careful. Don't take unnecessary risks. They always say, yes, Mama, it's safe. But you know what Chris does? He knew they needed bear spray, so he went and bought bear spray. If there was gas in the tank needed, he would do that. He equips. And that's so good. Sometimes fathers see that we have to allow our children to get strong by giving opportunities to problem solve. Jesus did that for Peter. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch fish." They let their sons go into and daughters into deeper water. I thought about that. The disciples had worked all night. They were tired. But instead of Jesus saying, which I would have said, rest a little bit before you try again, he said, go out, work harder. And they worked so hard that the nets broke. They caught fish. And then, you know, that would be another work project. Someone had to fix the nets. And it was the fishermen who had to do that. But Jesus allowed them to go through that and strengthen them. Our Father in heaven makes us strong by giving us mountains to climb, valleys to go through, and rivers to ford. And I'm so glad that when I'm afraid, Mr. Chris says to me, let's just pray for them. They need to have their adventures. They need to do this. Do I always like it? Am I always happy with him? No. But they have to do it. Friendship. God offers us friendship. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. And think of that. God knows exactly who we are, and he invites us into friendship. You guys know exactly who the other person is, or if not, you give each other a chance. And friendship is transformational with God, and it is with one another too. You have such a great way of doing a buddy system. I love that about guys. They can do that. And we see here in Cornerstone that you guys are doing that. Out of that secure relationship that we have with God, we can offer friendship to others. When our friendship is rooted in our identity with Christ. Friendship sharpens us. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, it's astonishing. I've watched, Chris is a hockey fan, so we watch a lot of hockey. And I see the guys wailing on each other during a game. And then after the game, good game. That was such a good game. And they have the ability just to let it all go because that's what guys do. And I think that's such a good lesson for ladies to learn, you know, let it go. That was the game. This is life. True friendship allows others to give life-giving rebuke. Jonathan helped David persevere in difficulty. He went to David at Horesh and strengthened him in the hand of God. Sometimes the Lord tells us it's you. Sometimes guys and even women, we have to tell each other, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? I don't know if guys would use those words, but they do sharpen each other. So here you are, friends. Cornerstone men, you ride together for fun and for a cause. You visit men in prison. You bring the good news of the gospel. There's no judgment, just reaching out to a hurting brother. Chris and I have talked with Mark a lot about that, and with the ladies, and it's amazing how you do that. You just love the people, and you reach out. I think if you want to know about that picture with Ed, you'd have to talk to Ed David. He'll tell you what he's doing there. You show up. Ben is not in the picture, but that day he was looking after his babies, as he calls them. So he's representing the young men who serve in our ministries here. You show up, you love, you serve. Graydon, Danny and Jacqueline's son, taking time out to play with his kiddos. I think there's a kind of a fun that dads do that just has no reservations. There's nothing left on the table. You just have fun, and you do that with each other. And I say, well done. You give each other support. I have these two up because I've heard reports that they will call their friends and support and encourage them in prayer and the Word of God. They never told me that. And I'm sure there's many of you here who do that, who just call each other and support each other. Time didn't permit for me to show all your pictures, but I know that these two have done that. And God always supports you and will support you. He will always have time. And this is what you are modeling. You're taking the time for each other. You're sharpening and you're serving. I've asked Nathaniel for advice, but I have never completely dared to go into his gym and say, okay, show me how it's done, because I think I'd be afraid of the journey and the pain. But I know that he is always so willing to support. And there's a picture of Mr. Chris with my mom. She has dementia and gets really worried about things, but now she uses Chris as a threat to the nurses. If you don't do what I ask, I'm going to call my son-in-law and he will just tune you right in. So thank you for doing that. And you know what? God is there for us. He does that for us, and you are modeling that. You love and you nurture. The Lord has appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. It is so great to see granddads loving on their grandbabies. But they are not the only ones who are doing that. I see you men doing that in the foyer, in the Sunday school rooms. You love and you nurture, and you allow us to see God's loving nature when you do that, because He's our Father. He doesn't mind it when we cry. And even Jesus wept. So when you show that part to us, it's wonderful, because you're showing the tender and loving nature of God. And there's a love that grows. Our friend has shared with us many times about his journey with his children, but distance is never a consideration. You go where your children are and you pursue them with love. I love that. You teach and you serve. And you serve quietly without making a big fuss and go without thanks so many times. You faithfully teach the Word of God. And you know what? God gives us gifts every day, faithfully. And I don't think we always consider all the things that He gives to us. Breath, a new day to live, sun, rain, all the little ways, that big ways that God serves us. And they go unnoticed. So a lot of you do that here. You serve and teach quietly, and we don't notice. But we want to say thank you to God for all His goodness to us, and we want to say it to one another. So today, we say, well done, good and faithful servants. Thank you, men. You're taking care of your families, your world, each other, on this awesome adventure called following Jesus together. You are reflecting the heart of the Father and His love.